Once again, I'd like to invite you to this Sunday night Bible study as we are going through the motto prayer, how God wants us to pray. And this is an important subject, something that, as I have mentioned before, that I wanted to cover for a very long time. And so once again, I want to remind you that the prayer is not for God. Our prayer is not to change God's mind, but rather it is asking God to equip us to do what we need to do here on the earth. Right? It is about it's about God. It's praising God, putting God in its God in its proper place, and that's what we have been doing for last about 4 or 5 weeks. As we have been very slowly going through this prayer. And what we have done so far is we have looked at the prayer that deals with proper place of God. Now what we are going to look at is things that deals with our need as men. But even then, what we are seeing, what we are looking at here is through those things, the God is glorified. So what we have here and what we are going to look at in the next couple of weeks is a request to God to meet our need. First one, our daily provision. Then we are going to look at forgiveness. And then we are going to we're going to look at him delivering us from evil. So what we are looking at today is our present need. Then, of course, when we look at forgiveness, it's dealing with the past. And then we are looking at future, what God is going to do for us. So even in those things, we are glorifying God. And so, as we looked at our Father, that his name needs to be hallowed, that his kingdom come and thy will be done. How does he do that? He does that through us. He does that, and he sustains us by providing us with our daily provision. And that's so. It is so important for us to have God in a proper place when we pray. And that's the whole purpose of this this study that we are doing. And it is, you know, so often our prayer starts what we are going to cover today. What we have studied so far, our focus is not on those things. And even if it is, we are so eager to get on to what our needs are, whatever those needs might be for that particular time. And so as we look at this, you know, I want to present this to you in a way that might be meaningful to you. So if you are living in America, as most of you are who are plugged in here are living in America, the number one question specifically in my household, or all of you who have kids, especially if you have teenagers, and even maybe if you don't have a kids, even from your spouse, your husband, you know, number one question we have is, hey, what's for dinner? What are we going to eat? And when we look at that question at the core, right, that question has a different meaning for us who are living in America compared to parts of the world, like the third world, or if you look at that question through the history, that has a total different meaning. When we ask that question in our home, hey, what's there to eat, right? That people open up a refrigerator and look into the refrigerator, and hey, there is nothing to eat, although the refrigerator is full of food. Our perspective on those things are, hey, what else can I eat? I'm tired of eating this food, or I'm tired of I'm tired of the leftovers or one particular type of food. We are looking for a different option to please our appetite. That is not the case for the most of the people in the world. When they ask what's for dinner, is literally, where am I going to get that meal from? And certainly, if you look at that question throughout the history, most people did not have the options that we have. You know, some of us have one refrigerator, some of us has two refrigerators in our house, some of us have two refrigerators and a freezer in our house, not to mention all the fruits and stuff that we keep outside of the refrigerator. We have plenty of food in our houses, in our homes. And so when we look at this part of the prayer, where it says, give us this day our daily bread, perhaps we say it very casually. Certainly, we don't understand the complete depth of that statement. Because none of us, if we are being honest, are worried right now today about how my meal is coming tomorrow. I think most of us have a means. Most of us have an ability, especially if you are living here in America, to have food. We have options. So how does this prayer become meaningful to us? Now, I am going to cover this from this perspective. And the perspective is the provision. When it says, give us this day our daily bread, that daily bread is not just speaking of food, but it is speaking of our physical needs. And again, I repeat that word, our needs, not our wants, not luxuries, what we need to survive. And God is very much interested in our daily need. He wants to provide for us. That is clear in the scripture. But does he provide that for every single human being? Is that promise for every single human being? And today I'm going to go through a lot of verses, so I hope you have your pen and paper ready to take down some scripture. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of the verses, but from the very beginning, as we get into Genesis, God was very much concerned about our physical need. So Genesis chapter 1, 29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. You see, there is a variety, and I don't want to go through it because I don't have a lot of time. There is a variety of food that we can enjoy. God could have just given us broccoli and said, listen, that's all you eat the rest of your life, right? God could have just given us broccoli, and that's it. That's all you eat, and we would have never known. But God from the beginning knew. He said he has made all these things. And if you look at throughout the Old Testament, if you look at New Testament, and you see the nuts and the type of meat that we have, we can eat, right? It's not just beef. You can have goat, and you can have lamb. You can have fish, and you can have shrimp. Look at all the choices that God has given us. He knows what our needs are, right? In Genesis chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, look what he says. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, of the air, and all that move on the earth, and all the flesh, all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Here's where the diet needed to change. Now there is a new equation in place after the flood. And now God gives us a permission to eat meat. And then we are, so God is very much interested in meeting our needs. But as I said, there are criteria that we have to meet. And one of those criteria is that, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Are you a person who is saved? Now, you might say to me, Hey, listen, there are plenty of people of other religion. They have plenty of food. And I have seen some Christians, they don't have enough to meet their needs. Now, what I want to show you through the scripture is that God has promised us to those who are His to meet our needs, not our wants. Now, when God does that, as it says in the Deuteronomy, right, God makes it rain on just and unjust. So because of that, okay, because of that, there are people who are not of God are still eating and enjoying the fruits of the earth. But when there will be a time when there is a famine, even in those times, God has promised us food. Look what it says in Psalm 33 verses 18 and 19. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." You see, there is a clear condition that is given to given over here. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Now, does that mean he doesn't see the rest of the people who don't fear him? No, that's not the point here. The point is, yes, God knows that they are there, but God is paying a particular attention to those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in what? Famine. You see, even in the famine, God has promised us provisions. In that same psalm, if you go one more chapter, chapter 34, verse 10, he says, "The young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." You see, these are some promises of God that I want you to understand, and I want you to take it in, right? As somebody has said, the most of the things that the Christians worry about, they never happen. And when you look at all of these promises and some of the verses that I'm going to give to you today, as a Christian, we should never, ever be worried about our daily provision. We shouldn't be worried about anything, but certainly not about our daily provision. What am I going to eat? How am I going to eat? And so forth. As long as you meet some of the criterias that I am laying out for you. Now, when we go to Proverbs chapter 3, we are very familiar with verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Okay? I'm sorry, I just read a little bit ahead. We know verse 3 ends at "lean not on your own understanding." But when we go, if you scroll a little bit further down and you read verse 8 to 10, look what it says here. It says, "It will be a health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty." Not just a little bit. It says, "Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with a new wine." Again, a provision, I mean, promise of provision. And you go to Psalm 37 and 25, where it talks about the righteous, right? When it talks to us about if you delight in the Lord, and then it talks about if you put away your anger and so forth. If you read all the, you read throughout that chapter. And I'll take you all to verse 18 and 19. Look what it says over there. It says, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied." And if you read that chapter, and some of you might be familiar with that chapter, it talks about the wicked, and the disaster that is waiting for them. And the consequences of actions that are their action is that's waiting for them. It talks about that. And but God's over here says, in the days of famine, those who are righteous, those who are of God, they will be satisfied. And in that same chapter, Psalm 37, verse 25, it says, "I have been young and now am old. yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Promise of provision. Promise of provision. It is so important for us to understand this, what God has in store for us. And so in this little prayer, this little sentence that we have, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now it talks to us about us. It says, give us. So this, again, there is a sense of a community. There's a sense of belonging. We are a part of a body. Right? Body needs a sustenance. It's give us this day of daily bread. Now let me tell you, when you enjoy a meal, a particular meal that you remember the fellowship. You remember the company. You know, if somebody invites you to their home and they share a meal with you, it doesn't always have to be the best food that is available. You know, it's the company that makes the food. It could, perhaps it doesn't taste as good as it can be, but it's the fellowship. It's that love. It's being with the fellow Christians. Give us. That's what makes the meal memorable. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17 says this, okay? It says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a fatted calf with hatred. So in our understanding or in our world, if we were to write Proverbs 15, 17 is, it's better to have some salad than to have a filet mignon, a steak with a loved one. You see? That's what it's telling us. And so we are a part of the body. And again, this takes us back to the start of the prayer. How do we become the part of that body? It's when we are able to say our Father. When are we able to say our Father? When we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we are a part of His bride. And we are a part of that family. We call out to Him our Father. And when we do that, when we belong to Him, then all these promises that I just gave you come true for us. And in that fellowship is where we enjoy our meal. Now, this question of daily bread, as I started out, is not the one that somehow we, in some way we cannot relate with it. Because as I said, most of us have plenty of food. But when you look at the time when this was being written, or throughout the history, most people got paid on a daily basis. You know, they went out and they labored, and at the end of the day, they got paid. You know, we have a parable in the scripture where it talks about a master hiring people in the morning and the afternoon and the evening and paying them all the same amount. And you know that account very well. So most of the people had food for that day. They earned their money. From there, they would buy the bread and then they would eat. So you can understand, you can relate what this means. When you look at the story of Elijah and the ravens, in that time of famine, as I read to you a couple of verses about how God is going to supply your needs in famine, we remember there was a famine in the land of Israel. You know how God fed Elijah through ravens, and then later on a widow and his son, and nothing ever ran out. We know about that. So it is so important to understand. Now, how does God provide? And we have seen this example of God providing. One of the theme of the Old Testament is how God met their need in the wilderness daily, right? And that if you have guys have not uh, If you guys have not heard my message on Numbers chapter 11 on the manna, I might be biased, but I highly recommend you listening to that teaching about how what manna represents, how we have a need for God daily. He provided for his people, all those people, daily, the food that they needed. And when we come into Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 4, and I might be a little bit off the subject here, but one of the great verses in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell this 40 years." And you come to that verse and you might think, what does this have to do with anything? But this talks about the provision, protection of God in our life. Because one of the things, if you look at it scientifically, when your diet remains the same for a long period of time, your feet have a tendency to swell up. You can go and look it up. So for God to say this, he was telling them how he is protecting them, how he's watching over them. And so God has always, you look at Abraham in famine, when he did not trust God and he went down to Egypt, and you know the consequences that he had to face because of that. And so people were always desperate for food. This is a very basic need. The food is a very, very basic need. And I'm taking you somewhere where when I say that. That was the whole goal of people at that time. And for the people, a lot of people today, when you go to different part of the world where they struggle for food, where they don't have the resources that we have here in America. Do you know there are so many resources in America? So it might be very hard for us to relate to this. We are one of the nations in the world, I think perhaps the only nation in the world, where the government pays the farmers not to grow a crop. Because if everything that we grow or we are able to grow were to come into the market, the whole economy would collapse. The whole economy would collapse because the things would be so cheap. It would be just all over the place. You would be surprised how many potatoes that U.S. literally throws them away in the sea, because if they were all to be in the market, there would be no market for the potatoes. And some of you might say, why can't they just give this to other nations? They would be rotten by the time it got to where it needed to go. Some of you might, who are old enough to remember the struggles of the 80s, when there was a conflict between America and Russia, and America was going to hold back all the grains that they sell to Russia. There was so much that if the government didn't buy, the whole all the farmers were going to pay a heavy price. So we have plenty of resources. That was not the case, or is not the case, for a lot of people in the world. And so one of the popular places I want to take you, a popular account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 25 to 29. But just to remind you, there is a huge crowd there at the mountain. And it's a wonderful place. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, and if you get to the Sea of Galilee and you see all the mountains, perhaps on one of those mountains, Jesus is there. It's nightfall. And the very first question is, send them away because we don't have bread. And we know transpired from there, where Jesus fed 5,000. The story we are very familiar. And these people were so happy. And they ran after Jesus and they said, "Hey, listen, we got to make this guy our king." And Jesus knew their heart, and they were not acting according to the divine timetable. So Jesus went up. Jesus sent the disciples on the boat. We know the miracle after that, where Jesus came walking on the boat, walking on the water. And then they were on the other side. Jesus went to pray in the mountain and so forth. But when we come into the verse 25, look what happens. These people are searching for Jesus. What happened to him? He ran away. He went up to the mountain to pray. Disciple in the boat. What happened to these guys? And now they are searching him. And now they find him. Okay. And so what it says here in verse 25 is, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? You see that? So what they are asking over here is, okay, you are giving us this sermon. We are asking you for a bread. Okay, so now if you're not going to do that for us, teach us how to do this. Teach us how did you create this bread so then we don't have to worry about bread rest of our life. And I'm not going to cover the rest of it, as tempting as it is cover the rest of the text in the Gospel of John. But that's what they were literally asking. The main concern of the people was that how are they going to be fed? How are they going to be fed? And here Jesus gives us a wonderful insight into the prayer that we are studying. Do not labor for the food which perishes. Right? Do not labor for the food which perishes. Unfortunately, as we pray this, even here in America, what is the number one thing that we are laboring for? What is something that our whole life revolves around? Right? My job, so I can have money, so I can enjoy all these things that I need. I can supply all my need. That is what our whole concentration is on, is meeting our need. If, God forbid, if we were to lose a job, we completely are devastated. Although, to start this Bible study, I gave you a whole bunch of promises, and there are a lot more where those came from in the scripture, where God says he will meet all your needs. And that's why it is also important for us to understand this, this little prayer that has been given to us. Give us our daily bread. You know, some of us have so much money stored up in our bank accounts that would meet our need for the rest of our life. And perhaps even our kids don't have to worry. We have built up a little empires for ourselves. Yet, the worry doesn't seem to go away, because we forget who the source of those blessings is. We think, because I have a good job, because I earn a good salary, because I have used it wisely, that's why I am able to meet all of my needs. And yes, you know, there is a place for work. That's how God provides for us, is by giving us the strength to work, ability to work, intellect to work, and then providing us with work, a job, a business, or whatever it is. So not only that we may meet the need, our own needs, but then as we get into Timothy and the New Testament teaching, where it talks to us about feeding or meeting the needs of those who are unable to do it because of physical limitations or various other reasons, the orphans and the widows and so forth. Paul in Thessalonians goes as far as saying is, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we as a Christian are not to just sit here and be all super spiritual and wait for ravens like Elijah. Okay? That's not what I'm trying to tell you. That's not what my focus is. My focus is that we must recognize who the source of all our blessing. Who is meeting all your needs. And you know, when I came to this profound knowledge a few years ago, that lifted a heavy burden from my heart. And I hope some of you have come to that realization as well. Because so often we look at our job, We look at our business as the place where you know you, that's where we are getting all our resources, and that's who is meeting our need. When you go past that and understand that, okay, if I were to lose a job tomorrow, if my business were to go belly up tomorrow, yes, is that going to be devastating? Perhaps, probably. That's not an easy thing to deal with in life. But when we come to scripture, and if we are grounded in the word, if Jesus is the foundation, then God has told us that I am the source of all your needs. I am the source of all your needs. And we are to understand that we are to labor for those things, the kingdom of God, to bringing his will, as we have learned in the prayer previously. We have to be focused on hallowing his name, his kingdom come, his will be done. Let him take care of meeting our daily bread. And that little word that we have in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, that speaks to us of our dependence on God. It's a faith statement that I am going to trust God to meet my needs. I'm going to trust God to meet my needs. That it's a huge faith statement, understanding. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't save any money? Does that mean we should not plan? No, that's not what I am saying. But your 401k is not your source. Jesus is your source. He provides for us. And as we end this Bible study, and I'm running out of time once again, I want you to turn with me in the chapter we are, Matthew chapter 6, and scroll down to verse 25. And the heading, the title of that text over there is, Do Not Worry. And I think some of us need to hear that today. Because some of you, or at least one of us, is worried about something. And here, usually our worry has to do with meeting our needs. How am I going to live? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay my my son's or daughter's tuition? How am I going to pay for this or pay for that or whatever that is lays heavy on your heart? But the word that I want to bring back to you is give us daily. It doesn't say give us daily bread. It says give us this day. And what that speaks of is whatever the need for that day is, God will provide that need. Meaning, if that's, you know, suddenly you have three people show up at your door who need to be fed, God will provide that need for that day. Just like when Elijah showed up at a widow's door, he said, make me. And that provided enough, not just for her and Elijah, but her son, right? Her son, and it went on until the famine was over. We must understand, give us this day, whatever the need for that day is. So need for that day, right? And it's not limited to food, as I said. Whatever the need for that day is, if the need is that you have to get your son or daughter married and you have an expense coming, God will meet that need. If you need a car, if you need a home, now listen. Again, I want to make sure we understand it's a need, not a want, okay? So if you need a home, God will provide the shelter for you. That doesn't mean it is going to be a four-bedroom, four-bathroom, three-car garage, a 10,000 square feet mansion. Whatever that need for that day is, God will meet. And let me end with this quickly. We're going to read some verses, okay? We are going to go down to verse 31 just to put it in a context. Verse 25 says, therefore, I say to you, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And it goes on to talk about the bird of the air and so forth, a scripture that all of you are very, very aware of and very familiar with. But I want to close with verse 31, and maybe one more verse, you know. But verse 31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat or what shall we drink? And it, for us, we can take those words eat and drink, and you can plug in whatever that need is that you are praying for. Don't worry about those things. Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. And I want you to understand this. Sometimes we miss this. Okay? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, if all you are worrying about all the time, about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, and all these physical needs that we have, God compares you to a Gentile. You are a Gentile. Because a Gentile runs after these things. And some of you and some of us have a common friend. Some of us have Gentile friends. And if you ever see, whenever we sit down and have a meal with them, or we are in a fellowship with them in some way, and we talk, all of their conversation is focused on their career, how they have invested, what they have bought, and how much they have, and all of these things. Have you ever noticed that? Their whole focus is how they are thriving in this world. Nothing about the kingdom. Don't be a Gentile. Don't be a Gentile. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. This is a promise of God. And I will close with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, all of these things that we have been talking about, whenever we eat, whatever we do, all of it is for the glory of God. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 is, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So next time when you sit down to eat, and I know some of you personally, I know you do that. I know you understand this. Just take a minute and reflect that this food that you are able to eat, the food that you are, the flavor that you are able to taste, the fulfillment that you get from that food, it is all for glory of God. That is His goodness. That's His faithfulness. It's His promise coming true, what He has asked us to do. And where you will be tomorrow, I don't know. As the saying goes, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Do not worry. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, Father, we thank you for your wonderful promises, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection, Lord. Thank you for your guiding, Lord. And Lord, we claim stake on these promises that we read today, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for meeting our needs, Lord. Lord, I personally thank you, Lord, that you have met my needs beyond my imagination, Lord. Even what I cannot even think, the home that you have provided, Lord, the food, the clothing, and anything that we have desired, Lord, you have given that to us, Lord. And Lord, help us to be a good steward of that, Lord, that we meet the need of others who might be struggling at this time, at this point in their life, Lord. Open our eyes to that need, Lord. Help us not to be selfish, but Lord, help us to be generous with the resources that you have given us, Lord. So I submit each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.